For the scripture reading tonight, turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together. And let me begin reading there with verse 7. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Then the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. I want to speak to you tonight on what Satan would do to you if he could. And I said this morning I was praying about preaching tonight about where's all the hatred come from. And I feel that would be a timely subject to discuss, but wouldn't be as much of a help and encouragement to folks in this room that I believe are free from hatred for people. But I'll tell you where hatred comes from. It comes from Satan. It comes from the flesh. And it comes from the world. And Satan hates all of us. He hates you if you're lost. He hates you if you're saved. God loves you when you hate him. Satan hates you when you love him. Hatred comes from the flesh. That's one of the works of the flesh, is hatred. And it comes from the world. Paul said before we got saved, we were hateful, hating one another. I'll tell you, we see a lot of hatred in our society. I'm not preaching on it tonight, but I'm going to say a few things. Because I'm as angry this week. I believe righteously angry, but I was angry this week. When those police officers were gunned down, I got up early the next morning, found out what had happened. I didn't see the news the night before. I immediately sent Brother Camp a text message. I said, Brother Camp, we love you and we're praying for you today. And it angered me to listen to the radio and to listen to the news and hear people calling in and the stupid, idiotic things they were saying. And I'll tell you, I think the blood of these police officers is on the Black Lives Movement, Black Lives Matter movement. And these athletes who provoke racism on our president that provokes racism against cops. I don't know if you can call it racism, but certainly does not uphold the police officers. Remember when all these athletes were coming out with t-shirts during their practices, I can't breathe? Y'all remember that? They didn't know any facts. They didn't know anything that had happened. But they, because the man that died was black, they immediately jumped against the cops. And I think the blood of cops, and there have already been more ambushes this year in July than all of last year for the whole year. Breeding racism. You can be racist and have black skin. Now, I love black people, brown people, whatever color people are. I don't see color of skin. I don't think of myself as a white person. I think of myself as a Christian and an American. I couldn't care less what anyone's skin color, ethnicity, or their ancient ancestors, where they came from. Couldn't care less. And I bet none of you could care less either. But we've got to stand up for right. And I tell you, this country is full of hatred and violence against authority, against people of different backgrounds and ethnicities. And a lot of it is coming from the liberal side of our country, not the conservative side of our country. Well, I'm not going to preach any longer about that, but I tell you, because I am still upset. And I think a lot of you are angry too. But don't turn that into hatred towards people. Amen? It was wrong for that man to kill police officers that had done him or anyone hadn't done in him or anyone else wrong just because he hated cops. And it's wrong for us to hate a segment of society because of what one man did to those cops. You see, Christians, we don't think like that. And conservatives don't think like that. And so I'm going to move on because it does make me angry. Now, being angry might make some good preaching, but it's not what the Lord really has put in my heart for this evening. I trust that all of us are familiar with the story of Job. So I'll not go through all the details, but Satan came swaggering in. God said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Wherever I wanted, to and fro through the earth." And the Lord challenged Satan by saying, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And I'm sure that Satan had considered Job. In fact, he did. He said, "Yes, I know who Job is. You put a hedge around him, blessed all that he has." So Satan knew who Job was, and he had considered Job, and at different times had tried to get through that hedge to get to Job's life. And there's nothing that Satan hates more than a godly Christian. He hates the one that has escaped his bondage. He hates the one that lives for God. He hates the one who lives with integrity and righteousness. He hates the influence of a godly person. He hates his family. He wants nothing more than to destroy the life of a godly person. So God said, "Hast thou considered my Job?" And he bragged on Job that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And that old hatred swelled up in the heart of Satan. He said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" In other words, Job is a mercenary. He only serves you because you've blessed him. You've made him the richest man on earth. He has no wants. He has no needs. He's got 10 kids. He has the perfect life. Why shouldn't God serve you when you've given, or why shouldn't Job serve God when God has given him all that he has? But if you took away what he had, he would curse you to your face because he doesn't really love you. He just loves the blessings. And I fear that would be true for many people. One preacher said that God began the trial to prove a point to Satan, but he couldn't end the trial until he'd proven a point to Job. That perfectly divides the book of Job. God had a purpose for the trial, and part of that purpose, perhaps the main part of that purpose altogether, was for us to draw encouragement and instruction concerning our own dealings with the devil. And tonight I want you to focus your attention on the enemy of Job, because he's your enemy too. And he never goes on vacation, and he never gets tired, and he never gives up. He has been messing with mankind since the Garden of Eden, and he will continue to do so until he is cast into the lake of fire. And he desires nothing more than to destroy my life, destroy your life, my family, your family, my future, my church, your church. That's all he wants to do, is destroy everything that we are for Jesus Christ. Satan hates the uprightness of your life. Satan hates that you fear God and avoid evil. Satan hates looking at you and seeing the image of Jesus Christ being produced by the work of the Holy Spirit. He hates the influence that you have in your family and in the lives of others. He hates that you rear your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He hates that you dare to witness. He hates that our teenagers might snatch two of his children out of his family so that they're translated into the family of God through salvation. He hates that he hates you for your faithfulness. He hates you because you got saved, but he hated you before you got saved too. Satan can't do anything but hate. He has no love in his being. He has nothing but despite and hate and malicious intent. And Christians need to be aware of his tactics. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Satan doesn't come up with new stuff. He uses the same old stuff that works over and over again. We need to be aware of his tactics. Now here's a thought I want you to grab a hold of tonight. That Satan threw everything he had at Job. Job suffered everything that could be suffered short of his own death. See that? God said, first, you can do whatever you want, but don't touch his body. And then secondly, let him do everything, even let him touch his body, but don't take his life. He allowed Satan to throw everything he had at Job. Every tactic, every trick, every wile, every tool, every weapon he had at the life of Job. That means he has nothing else. What you see in Job's temptation is all Satan uses. This is his entire bag of tricks. This is every tool he has, every weapon he uses, every tactic he employs, you're going to see in the life of Job. Now, you're not going to go through everything Job went through, but you're going to go through some of the things Job went through. Because that's all Satan does. I want to point out some things, five areas in which Satan attacked Job and which he will also attack you if he is able. Notice first, and you may think, well, I know the story of Job. We're going to look at it maybe a little bit differently than you have before. I want you to notice first that Satan attacked Job spiritually. This was a spiritual attack on Job's spirit. He wanted to beat Job down so that on the inside, Job would look up at God and curse God. It was an attack on his spirit. And Satan wants to hurt our spirits. That's why Paul said, I serve God with my spirit. He said we're to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits. So Satan wants to attack the inner man. He wants to attack our spirit. When you're serving God, you've got to get ready for spiritual attacks. Attacks on your spirit. As a pastor, I know that I live in a bullseye. But I'm not the only one that lives in a bullseye. Anyone who serves God lives in a bullseye. Certainly, if there is an under-shepherd in a church, Satan is going to focus a lot of his attention on that under-shepherd. But he's going to also focus some attention on every Sunday school teacher, every bus worker, every witness, everyone who's given to missions, everyone who's faithful to church, everyone trying to raise their family. And what Satan wants, he wants me to get discouraged and frustrated and to lose my faith. He wants my spirit to be weak because, hey, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But what do you do when your spirit is weak? When your heart is broken? Years ago, I was joking around with Elizabeth, and I said, just facetiously, I guess I'll just quit. She said to me, I forget how old she was, but she said, oh, that's what I need. I need a quitter for a dad. But see, that's what Satan wants. He wants her to have a quitter for a dad. And he wants you to have a quitter for a pastor. And he wants to beat us down and beat us down and beat us down and beat us down so that one day we'll have had enough and we'll look up to God and we'll either curse God or we'll say, I've had it. I can take no more. I quit. It's an attack on our spirits. He wants to hurt and injure and crush our spirits. It happens to preachers all the time. It's called ministerial depression. Preachers committing suicide. There was a church in Atlanta, or it was Georgia, maybe it wasn't Atlanta. 800 people were sitting in church waiting for the pastor to show up. You know where they found him? They found him in the front seat of his car in the driveway of his house. He'd blown his head off. 800 people. But he was so depressed that he took his own life, and that was just a few months ago. What happens? What happens? An attack on the spirit. Years ago, we went to the Great Smoky Mountains, and then we stayed near Pigeon Forge, and it was a free place for preachers to go where they could refresh their battery some. And we were in one cab, and there was another man in the other. I saw he wasn't much older than I am now, but I saw him get out of his car, and he's walking real slow. And later on, I saw him sitting out on the porch, and so I struck up a conversation. And he said, yeah, I'm here recuperating. He said, my doctors have got me on medical. The guy's 41, 42 years old. I said, what happened? Are you sick? He said, I'm burned out. He said, I was burning both ends of the candle. I never took vacations. I never took days off. We had building programs and this going on and that going on and finances and banks and people problems and all this stuff. And he said, I just reached a point where I couldn't get up anymore. Ministerial depression. And ministers aren't the only people that get depressed. That's what happens when Satan comes And he beats us down and he beats us down and he beats us down until on the inside, you may be still strong on the outside, but you are weak on the inside, and it is an attack on your spirit. That's why God says put on the whole armor of God. Does that mean I'm supposed to put on a flak jacket every day before I go out? Might not be a bad idea these days. A Kevlar hat? So I can protect my flesh? No, I got to put on the armor of God, which you can't see, because it doesn't protect my bone and my skin and my flesh. It protects the inner man. That's where Satan attacks. And so Satan will always attack the spirit. He wants you to be frustrated. He wants you to be demotivated. He wants you to lose your fire. He wants you to lose hope. He wants you to lose love. He wants you to lose the faith. Then you're in a bad position when he's attacked you spiritually. Boy, you can just see the misery in Job's heart. Later on, he describes it in poetic terms. You know, it's a poetic book, and he says Satan was like a giant that ran upon him. Can you imagine a giant 10 feet tall running on you? And you see, he ran upon me, and he grabbed me, and he choked me, and he shook me, and broke me to pieces, and threw me on the ground. He was trying to describe what it felt like on the inside to be in the hands of a giant that was just pulling him apart and smashing him down and driving him into the ground. That's what it felt like on the inside. That's when Satan attacks your spirit. Second way that Satan attacks, what he would do to you if he could, he attacked Job financially. The first thing Satan did was strip Job of all of his wealth before he did anything else. Job was the wealthiest man in the East. Within just a few minutes, he lost it all. Can you imagine Job in his office, sitting there at his desk like he always does, going through his files or his list of things to do for the day. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Here comes in a man. We were watching your camels, great herds of camels, very rich, like having semi-trucks. And the Chaldeans came in and stole them all away, killed all our servants. And as soon as he's done talking, here comes another guy. They stole all your cattle, killed all your servants. I'm the only one left. Another guy comes in. I forget what else they stole, but there were three, one after the other. Came in and when they were done, Job had lost it all. His trucking industry, his camel routes, his caravans, his stuff, his cattle, his sheep. I mean, and all of his servants, it was all his wealth. And it was just gone. Just like that. Now, why did Satan attack him financially first? Because we often make our riches our security. And to be honest, some of us might fear losing money more than we fear losing our health. Think about it. Which would you rather lose if you had to choose? The Bible says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings." Someone was telling me that their retirement plan, because of the economy, I mean, in just a few months, their retirement plan lost $70,000. Gone. Money that was invested and should have been, but it was $70,000 gone. Money makes wings. It's a bye. Oh, you used to buy gas for a dollar? Bye. Check out $4 a gallon now. How many of you remember gas under a dollar? Ain't coming back there again. So riches makes wings, like an eagle toward heaven. It's wise to have savings and investments and to be as debt-free as possible. But don't make money your fortress or your refuge. If riches increase, the Bible says, set not your heart upon them. If because you love God, God can bless you and your riches increase, don't suddenly say, "Ooh, riches, ooh," and set your heart upon them. No, you keep loving God and let God take care of whether He blesses you financially. And just love Him no matter what you have. God had blessed Job with all of his wealth, and Job had honored God with his wealth. But now that his wealth was gone, he continued to honor God. But Satan will attack us through our finances because we often set our hope and faith in money. And to be honest, and hey, we got to always be honest, we fear the loss of money. The thought of being impoverished, the thought of not being able to pay bills, rent, buy food, is a great terror in our hearts. Anyone who's got responsibility feels that. It's an area of stress. It's an area of strain. It's an area of worry. It weakens our faith. It strains our marriages. It causes a lot of marital frustration, disagreement, argument. Sometimes it leads to divorce. But we have to see that sometimes financial problems are satanic attacks. Hey, he used it against Abraham. That's why he went to Egypt during the time of famine. He should have stayed where he was. And sometimes we allow money to be used of the devil to get us out of the will of God. Thirdly, Satan attacked Job emotionally. I got a lot of parents in the room. What's your greatest fear as a parent? Boom, just like that, you thought losing a child. Amen? Wasn't losing your car. Wasn't any of that stuff. You're a parent, your greatest fear, boom, don't even have to think about it, losing your child. How about if you got 10 children, they all die one day? Wouldn't that be terrible? Don't you know that Satan attacked Job emotionally? How would your emotions feel on a day like that? I can't even imagine. Can you imagine a funeral service with 10 caskets? Can't imagine. You see, Satan uses these things against us. Now, he may not have to take your child, but that doesn't mean that he can't attack your emotions. With Job, Satan reached his hand into Job's chest, pulled his heart out, threw it on the ground, and stomped on it. And Satan will attack our emotions to hurt us and cause us to get away from God. Now, you might say, well, not me. I'm a very stoic person. My emotions have no part of my life. And I'll say, yeah, right. We all have emotions, and our emotions are strong, and they're God-given. We're not rocks. We're not robots. We are emotional creatures. Now, some are more emotional than others, for sure. And sometimes people are dominated by their emotions, and they shouldn't be. But our emotions are a real part of us. And emotional pain is just as real as if you broke a limb. Amen? I mean, you can break an arm and you're feeling physical pain. Your heart can break and it is real pain. And Satan will attack you through your emotions. Have emotional pain in your relationships. Emotional pain from your children. Emotional pain in serving God. There's emotional pain in the losses and setbacks in our lives. Emotional pain that comes from death. Emotional pain that comes from loss. Emotional pain that comes from people that are hurtful. Emotional pain things that can happen. But sometimes we have to stop before we mess up our life because of an emotional reaction to stop and say, you know what? If I could look into the spiritual realm, maybe I'd see over here Satan pulling a bunch of strings in my life, messing with my emotions because he wants me to react wrongly and do the wrong thing and have a wrong spirit or get out of the will of God for my life because my emotions are hurt. So I'm just pointing out, folks, that Satan doesn't come up with new stuff, okay? People get out of church because their feelings got hurt. Right? Sure do. People end up divorced because of emotional pain. People end up a long way from God because of emotional pain. We've got to see that sometimes Satan uses that, and he uses financial problems, and he uses spiritual attacks. And then fourthly, we've got to see that Satan attacked Job physically. Now let's give Job a hand, because he didn't falter under the first set of temptations. I don't know how I'd have done. Can we be honest? Did it look like it could even get any worse? Could it even get any worse? And he got through the first, and he fell down in the ashes. He said, I was born naked, I'll die naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Satan came back. And God bragged on him again. He said, yeah, well, you wouldn't let me touch his body. If I touched his body, he would have really broken. He'd have cursed you to your face. So God said, all right, you can do whatever you want. Just don't take his life. Now, people have tried to guess what this disease was that Job had. Can I tell you what I think? Good, because I'm going to. I think Satan went to his little laboratory and he started mixing things together. And I think he came up with the worst disease that a person could possibly be afflicted with. And it may be that Job was the only person to ever suffer that disease. Boils from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You know, your human body, because of the sin nature, can suffer an infinite number of things that go wrong. The death that works in us. Now, regardless where that disease, we came from Satan, we know that. He struck him with that. Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. No way to get comfortable. No way to rest. Constant pain, inflammation, to the point where he's taken a broken piece of pot, like a pot you have on your back porch, and you break it, take the rough edge of that, and he's scraping the boils because he's beside himself with pain. Satan attacked Job physically. Someone has said that if Satan can't get you through your substance, he'll try to get you through your skin. Now, do I think that every disease comes from Satan? No. Of course not. Was there a woman that was bound and bowed over for 18 years and no physician could help her? And what did Jesus say? This woman that Satan hath bound. So do I think that sometimes Satan does afflict people with disease? Yes. Do I think sometimes disease comes from foolish and sinful living? Yes. Sometimes I think we go through hardships. And by the way, didn't Paul have a physical malady? He called a thorn in the flesh. And he said it was a messenger of Satan. What message do you think it brought every day? It buffeted him. Beat him up every day. Quit, Paul. Give up, Paul. God's not good to you, Paul. Why doesn't God answer your prayers, Paul? Every day as he suffered in his body. And I don't need to tell you, especially the older folks in the room, that physical ailments and sickness and weariness and weakness can really, really, really drag down our spirits. Sometimes, man, when you go through a long time of physical problems and sickness and have to go through surgeries and back and forth to the doctors. Boy, when I saw my mom go through cancer 3 times, breast cancer was the worst. I had to go through all the radiation treatments and all the pain and suffering that inflicted upon her to be cancer free. Boy, it was hard on my parents. Back and forth to the doctors, back and forth to the clinic, back and forth to the hospital, back and forth for another procedure, back and forth for another test. And I saw it wear them down. So I know that physical problems can wear us out. It was a sore trial, but Job continued to stand strong. But then Satan attacked Job domestically. That's when Mrs. Job comes into the story. And I have pity for her. She was suffering what her husband was suffering. In a way that, in fact, she'd lost her wealth too, and she'd lost her children too. She wasn't covered in boils, but she's got to sit there and look at her husband suffering like that, and how do I know how I would react? She certainly didn't win wife of the year. Job's sitting there suffering, and she says, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." What a terrible thing to say. Maybe she regretted it later. You know, she had to have 10 more kids. Maybe that was her punishment. No, I don't think so. But she had cursed God and die. What a terrible... You know, we've been married almost, 20-something years. Don't ask me for the math right now. 22 years. I cannot imagine in any circumstance Mrs. Raspberry looking me in the eye and say, "I wish you were dead. Why don't you just die?" Yet Job has to, on top of everything else, instead of having his wife's support, she, "I can't handle this. You know, just die so it'll all be over." And Job told her straight, "You're talking like one of the foolish women talking. God's blessed us. Should we take from the hand of the Lord and then Should we curse him when he withholds from us or takes back? Satan will attack your home. Satan will attack your marriage. He'll try to get one of you into sin. Try to get one of you into adultery. Try to break your home and split it up. Try to get one of you to live a double life, a secret life. Amen. Y'all not have secrets from each other. That's Satan getting involved. I was listening to Jack Treber, and he asked his church a good question. He said, how come some of you are so afraid of your spouse picking up your cell phone? Huh? I mean, well, that's just mine. It's personal. Oh, really? Here's mine. You know who can look at it anytime she wants? You know who has the passcode? My wife. And you think I care? Why would I care? What's on my phone except Samurai Siege, Facebook, email? Y'all know what Samurai Siege is, right? Greatest game ever. Look me up, Raz, under Old Rugged Cross. I'll crush you. Think I care? Read my emails, my Facebook, Samurai Siege, pictures, Bleacher Report. Nothing on here I'm worried about, or anything on our home computer I'm worried about. Well, that's just mine and it's personal. Two become one. No secrets. No secrets. No double life. My wife knows where I am. I know where she is. I don't have to spy on her. I don't have to check on her. You know, in marriage, you got to have something called trust, too. But on the other hand, you got to be trustworthy also. Couldn't care less. I don't care if people text me. I'll text you back eventually. And, you know, no secrets. Satan will use that kind of stuff to get into your life. You're going to give place to the devil, getting involved in secret liaisons, hidden activities, flirting with sin. Satan wants to destroy your home. He wants your home to be divided. It's not my stuff and my time and my money and my things and my room and my car and my phone and my kids. It's not mine, mine, mine. It's our home, our cars, our stuff. Our kids. Satan wants to divide us. God wants us to be united as one. Our future, our lives, not two separate lives under one roof, but two that have become one and are living together and sharing everything and pulling forward in the same yoke, raising the same family, living one life together under God is what God intends. Make sure that your marriage stays strong. Don't let Satan attack your Christian life through your marriage. People sometimes they get in an argument, so they stay home from church. Well, we had an argument. I wasn't in a good mood to come to church. That's when you need to come to church. Mrs. Raspberry and I have been going to church together for 22 years. You think we've never had an argument coming to church? Why do you think we ride separate cars most of the time? We're members in Arlington. I mean, we got married at 19. A little under 19 for me. We were young, hot-headed. I was. We'd go to church sometimes in Arlington. And we'd argue and get there mad at each other. And she'd go to choir and I'd go sit in the pew. And then we'd have to sit together in church. Brother Smith would get up and the Holy Spirit would lead him to preach on husbands and wives getting along. It was always fine by the end of the service, amen. Don't stay home because you had an argument on the way to church. I mean, you married a sinner, you shouldn't be too surprised when there's problems. So what? Sit in church. Get preached to. Go home happy, amen. Don't let Satan divide you. Everyone has marriage problems, and sooner or later, everyone has disagreements. You don't have to turn into World War III, but also don't let Satan get involved in that stuff. Don't give place to the devil. Brother Smith preached a great sermon one time on how to fight like a Christian. How to have a fight like Christians. How to argue like Christians without destroying each other. You see, Satan was behind what Job was going through. And Satan was the one, I think, that punched his wife's button so that she said the unwise thing that she said. We've got to realize that Satan wants to attack us domestically. Sometimes he wants to attack us through our children. And sometimes he wants to attack us through our friends. Job got through all of that. And then his three friends came to persecute, to help him. He sat there for 7 days and didn't say anything. I used to think that was critical. And then I realized, sometimes the best thing we can do for people that are suffering is just sit there and be quiet. We don't have to come in with all the answers, amen. And they were probably a comfort to him for 7 days, and they just sat there and sympathized with him and sat there quietly. But then they had to open their mouths. One said, "You're going through this because God is judging you." And Job is like, "God is not judging me. I live with integrity." And the other one said, "Who are you to say that you live with integrity? There's no other reason for you to be going through this except the chastisement of God." And Job would get angry. And he said, No, I haven't done anything. I'm innocent. Oh, no, you can't be innocent." And they started criticizing him. And they had to have broken his heart. "Can't you just be supportive? Can't you be helpful? Can't you be with me in this time of need?" And then his neighbors and people that he'd helped throughout his life with his money and his business, people that had once, he said, treated him like a king. Now they were treating him like a byword and turning their backs upon him. And sometimes Satan's behind all that too. What we're seeing is what Satan would do to you if he could. Nothing happens that God doesn't put His stamp of approval on. Don't touch His body. Don't take His life. But Satan would do all these things to you if he could. I think Job is a prototype showing us Satan's entire toolbox. That he wants to attack us spiritually. He wants to attack us financially. He wants to attack us emotionally. He wants to attack us physically. He wants to attack us domestically. You may go through one of those at a time. You may go through two of those at a time. You probably won't go through all of it like Job did. I doubt it very seriously. But we need to realize that Satan is after us. That he hates us. That he wants to destroy us. He's not going to give up on it. He will attack the child of God until he can attack us no more. He will never give up. So we've got to go out in the full armor of God, realizing that we can have spiritual victory. Oh, he may be a giant compared to us because angels are above men, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I can have victory. Amen. I can have victory. But I've got to realize and not be ignorant of Satan's devices.